Welcome to the Winner's Walk podcast, where you will learn from today's top Christian leaders how to fulfill your divine destiny and to live the victorious life God has called you to live. By sharing their godly wisdom and stories of success, we hope our guests will inspire, educate, and motivate you to walk like the winner God made you to be. And now, here's the host for Winner's Walk, Neil Clark.
Hey, winners, I'm your host, Neil Clark, and I'm excited for today's show. We are honored and blessed to have as our guest one of today's top Christian leaders, Mr. Mason Weaver. Now, Mr. Weaver is a U.S. Navy veteran who served in the Vietnam War and was a Bronze Star recipient. After being injured on the job, Mason was discharged from the Navy. He entered school at UC Berkeley and received a degree in political science. After college, he worked for the U.S. Department of Energy negotiating government contracts. In 1980, he started his own private consulting business to assist businesses with government contracts, and he also transitioned into being not only a regional but a national speaker. Many of you will recognize him from the national news programs he frequents to comment on breaking news stories. He is also the author of It's Okay to Leave the Plantation, The Rope, Diamond in the Rough, and Polishing the Diamond in the Rough. And I am honored to welcome Mr. Mason Weaver to the show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we always like to just start off the show with just asking a little bit about your background and where it all started.
You read my bio, and it brought back some memories. I'm actually back where I started. I was raised in a small town in rural Missouri. I joined the Navy the same day Dr. King was murdered, April 4th, 1968. To be quite honest, I joined the Navy to get away from some little bit of racism in this town. Not very much, just probably 1%, but enough to make me not want to stay here. And I left the military. I was interesting. I ran across people from all over the country. One was a white racist in my work group, and he was a white racist. I was a black racist, and we argued and debated. I didn't have any problems with that until one day I ordered him, because I was a senior. I ordered him to take control of 2,800 pounds of steel so I can get some work ready before I was going to go on vacation. And I looked at this guy who I thought was a competitor. I'd been to Vietnam. I've seen an enemy. But the look on his face, when I saw the look on his face, I started running. But I knew that look was so much hatred. So a ton and a half of steel fell on me, broke my body, broke my back, broke my hips, crushed my ribs. When I finished screaming, I looked him in the eye. I saw his face. And the look on his face was so hateful that I began to hate. At that moment, I hated everybody white because it's one white guy. Even though 8 white guys rescued me, it didn't matter. Even though my doctor was white, my nurse was white, did not matter. Even though my physical therapist, or physical therapist was white, did not matter. They gave me a short time to live, and I want to live only so I can kill this guy. And I was full of hate. I went to Berkeley. I went to Merritt College. I studied sociology with Melvin Newton's older brother of Huey Newton. And I ran with the Black Panther Party, and I ran with the Student Revolution, and I was a black militant. And I hated everybody white. I hated America, and I thought I had no opportunities. But then I realized something. You all need to realize this. No matter what you had in your past, no matter what came against you, God is for you if you act like it. And he requires one thing of you. He requires absolute, total forgiveness before he can forgive you. I had to forgive, real or imagined, the debt I thought white America owed me. I had to forgive this white guy tried to kill me. I had to forgive everything I thought was wrong with my life. When I forgave it, God gave me a life. So I'm suggesting you all try that.
That's wise words, and I guarantee you that would definitely take Christ to be able to forgive that act, because that it was obviously a...
Right, brother.
That was obviously a life-changing event. But you took that event and then kind of parlayed it into what you're doing today, right? And as that story has helped open doors for you across the world. So
somehow people want to know the answer to what changed me. Those who knew me was astounded at the sudden, complete reversal of my life. And I began to witness, and I began to explain things. And God started bringing people in my life to You know, God pours wisdom in the people he knows going to share it. And wisdom comes from things you overcame, things you went through. Right. And so he poured me through all that, so I'm able to stand in front of folks and undeniable tell them what the truth is.
That's awesome. Now, when was the transition made? When did you get, you know, accept Christ, and when did that whole heart change happen?
Interesting. I always knew who God was, but I rejected God. See, but we have to understand something about this darkness. We think that people are that way because they don't know the truth. So we go and explain the truth over and over again. It does not work because they know the truth. I knew who God was, and I knew what the truth was. But I rejected the truth knowing that it's true, and I accepted the lie knowing it's a lie. And I'm hearing people say things about my God that didn't make sense. But I have people in my life that I grew up with that I knew loved God. I knew that they believed that a grown man died and came out the grave. I knew they believed it. I knew they were wise. And I started looking for their God. I started studying what is it about their lifestyle that I need to know. And I found out that eventually it came to me 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, driving up Highway 5, going from San Diego to Oakland, middle of the night, thinking about those disciples, trying to find out what was about them. I have to believe their testimony. And it became clear to me that God Almighty came to earth for me, personally, by name, that he allowed sinful man to manhandle him to save me. That he thought about me as a tortoise body upon a nailed his precious holy Bible body to that cross. He thought about me by name as he allowed his holy blood to soak that cross and soak that ground. It was for me that he went in the grave, and for me he came out of the grave, and for me he went to heaven, and for me he returned back and called me by name out of my grave. When I realized that God Almighty did not compromise with me on that cross, that I knew I could not compromise with him in the world. And I accepted that as a fact at 3:30 in the morning on the freeway. Oh, wow. And it felt like I had warm oil poured on my body. I felt like, you know, when I got out the car before that incident, I really shouldn't be driving the car. I had to grab my pants leg to bring my legs into the car. I had to go from the gas to the brake, lift my legs up. I had no muscles in my hip. I had to lift my legs up by my knees over to the brakes. I got out, got gas, got a snack, pulled back on the freeway again, had my soda next to me, and I realized I did not have to bring my legs out with my hands. I was cured instantly. Wow. And I walked home. I got home a saved, changed man. And I didn't care then, I don't care now, who didn't like it, who don't appreciate it, who comes against me. Jesus Christ went off that cross into heaven for me. It'll come back for me and for you.
Praise the Lord. That is awesome. That's a great testimony. Now, obviously, after that, you became an entrepreneur and started doing your own thing, and kind of spawned into speaking and to where you are today. What do you think some of the godly principles that you implemented that have helped you in your success?
Well, first, I have to recognize that God has a sense of humor. He took a stutterer, bashful, shy man, and put up in front of millions of people to speak. So the fact that God took a stutterer, could not speak one sentence, and put me in front of, I spoke in front of 2 million people once, at one time. So what happened to me, I had two choices in life. I knew I could not work 30 years for anybody. I have things broke for a pension. I had to learn how to earn money from my mailbox before internet. I had to learn how to get money to come to me. I could not go out and get it myself. So I learned entrepreneurship. I had to learn this idea why rich people call it cash flow and poor people call it making dough. You don't make dough, it flows. You're getting away of it. It's just manage your life, manage your time. I have to create an environment where I can sit and do anything and not have to go out and earn a living. So now I have a slogan on my business card: no job, just income.
That's a great slogan, that's for sure. Let me ask you this. Was there, you obviously have, I saw on your website that you had, you know, your seven principles to success. And those are very apropos for what we're doing here. And it says, the first one says, success is a verb, not a noun. What do you mean by that?
It is something you are doing. It is something you're engaged in. It's not something you're looking for, hope for, wanting to see. It's not a want or a wish. It is an active goal on your mind, step by step, manageable, and it's also measurable. You have to know where you are. I put on my, I have a painting in my home here of my driveway, right behind me, of my driveway that I painted 23 years before this house was built, 1,800 miles away in a state I never knew I thought I'd be in. I put it on my wall, told my wife, that's our retirement home. I retired in 2011, and I moved here into the house I told her about 20-some years before.
Wow.
It's a verb.
That is that, and that is great. And number two is, no one's opinion of you should be more important than your opinion of yourself.
You know, folks, every decision you make, you are guaranteed to live with every decision you make. You're going to be the one living with it. It may as well be your decision. Right. And why would you give another human being more influence on your life than you give yourself? Right. Why would you let somebody else's path interfere with your path? It should not matter what you call me. It should not. You don't feed me. If you fire me, you don't feed me. If you shoot at me, we drop 2,800 pounds on me. You do not affect me. My God affects me, and God is a God of faith. Faith is a verb. Keep going towards your goal, because as you go towards the goal that God sent you to, God only gives a vision to one person, not to the family. Not to the group, to one person. It's your vision. And if you head towards that vision and some obstacle get in your way, the obstacle is God's problem. Right. He wants you to get to that vision. So things in your way are irrelevant. It's nothing to you. Goliath was a dead man as soon as David or somebody went out there. Anybody would have killed Goliath. Anybody. The person who had the faith to walk after him, Goliath was a pile of dust. Same thing about all the problems in your life. Every problem facing you will cause you to act like you believe God, head to what God told you to head to, and let God take care of the obstacles. That's his job. He's pretty good at it, too.
Yes, he is. That's for sure. Now, what does that look like for you on a daily basis? How do you implement your spiritual walk on a daily basis, and what does that look like?
Well, I have no income. I haven't had a job since 1981, I think. I don't have a steady source of income. I have to create my income every month. Right. I have to create, I don't know how much money I'm making next month. I don't know in 3 months what I'm doing. I have no, every week, every day, it is me depending on God to send me the resources. My responsibility is to treat those resources with respect, right, and God continues to provide. I live on, my property here is called the land of no wants. A good friend of mine, a good friend of yours, told me this. Bill Brett, at a function, told me once, Mason, I said, Bill, I want to tell you something. He said, Bill, he said, Mason, the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Live in the land of no wants. That's the sign of my driveway right now. Welcome to the land of no wants.
That sounds perfectly like Bill. That's for sure. That's great. That's awesome. One of the other points that I thought was really good, if you're not willing to sacrifice, you're not willing to succeed.
You can't go to the future by dragging the past with you. You can't go and build a business and still hang out with the folks back there doing nothing you went to school with. You cannot be an entrepreneur if you hang with folks and never own a business. Even though you went to school with them, your best friends, your in-laws and outlaws, doesn't really matter. If you're not willing to sacrifice your time, your energy, entertainment, sacrifice having what you want right now, what you want in the future, if you're not willing to sacrifice, if you want to buy Nike shoes instead of Nike stock. If you're going to sit there and wait and hope and not sacrifice your time, energy, and intelligence, you're going to fail. Success means you left something behind to get to where you're going.
Very good. Now, have you had, mentors in your life, and how did they impact you?
Well, you have to have people in your life that got to where they are in life, helping people like you get to where they are. you have to have, you don't want anybody in your life that got to where they are by walking over people like you. Mm-hmm. So you look at folks in every level, social, economical, spiritual, and they have to have the willingness to see you succeed better than them. Then now you can sit back and you can say, tell me what I should do around this corner here. Right. If not, you better have somebody that's not going to take advantage. You want somebody to brag on you when you do something. Look, I gave advice on that. And those mentors, whether they're successful or not, if they're wise enough to know the mistakes, because they made them, they might not be successful. They know where the mistakes are. That's the person whose feet you sit at and whose advice you take. But remember, no one's opinion of you means more to you than your opinion of you.
Now, how do you recommend that people increase their opinion of themselves? Well, you know, a lot of self-image is obviously a big issue, and a lot of Christians not really walking out their full calling because maybe they see themselves as grasshoppers, or maybe they, you know, that they don't see themselves as the way God sees them.
Yeah, you have to recognize your flaws. My flaws are irrelevant. My shortcomings don't mean a thing. They're just irrelevant. I am not perfect. And so when folks attack me on my imperfections, I agree. You're right. I'm a clown. You're right. You're absolutely correct. I'm rude. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, my creator told me to go do that right there. My creator gave me that vision. See, a vision is something when you see the entire problem and the entire solution. That's a vision. And he only gave it to one person, not the army, not the troops, not the nation, to one doggone person for you to do. And you have to be like Noah. Don't know why you're building a boat. Don't know why I did this boat for. But God said, build a doggone boat. And if you're in tune with what God wants you to do, it does not matter what man shows you about you. It doesn't matter what they show you about your own inabilities. Yes, you're frail. Yes, you're scared. Yes, you're weak. Look at Gideon. Gideon is in a whale vat, in a hole in the ground, hiding from the enemy, trying to keep his wheat together. And God calls him a man of valor. Why would God call him a man of valor? The reason why is that God calls you for what you're going to be, not for what you are.
Right. And that's a definite truth. And you have to renew your mind to that. That's for sure. Now, what other words of wisdom? Well, let me ask you this. What's next for Mason Weaver? I mean, where do you see, what are you focused on at this journey in life at this point right now?
I appreciate you asking me that because I moved here to retire. I live 3 miles from the airport in San Diego. We had a nice little condo townhouse there. We were living great, traveling over the world. And I got my granddaughters to homeschool. So I brought them into the country an hour from the airport on 15 acres in the middle of nowhere to retire. And God said, you know, you retire when you're dead. So now I think, okay, I've been traveling, speaking to groups. Why don't we form a group of like-minded Christian conservative politicians, people that want to change the social life in America, people are tired of being beaten up, people are tired of being beaten down, people are tired of being run around. We're going to come together on, we got a site now, You Are To Be Free. The letter U, the letter R, the number 2, the letter B, and the word free.com. We're going to gather like-minded people. We're going to teach them the Constitution, the Bible. I don't think there's any way possible for you to be man enough to separate God from anything. You're not man enough. We're going to take our Bibles to the voting booth. We're going to take our Bibles to every political, social, economical decision. We're going to go to the cross first and get up off our knees and tell you what my God said about that situation. And we're not going to talk about, we don't care about your race, your color, your gender, your income, East Coast or West Coast or no coast at all. We're going to tell you what God said about that issue. And we're going to go do what God said do.
That is awesome. And I'm very excited about that. We'll go check out that website and we'll put that up on the screen here for everyone as well. I would also recommend, you know, where can they get your book or anything where you're speaking engagements, those kind of things? What would be the proper
I'm
place?
I'm a capitalist, so I make it very easy for you to give me money. Got what we do around here.
That's right.
My name is Mason Weaver. I'm at masonweaver.com. My email is masonweaver@masonweaver.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. I will come out and speak to any group, but I will not say what you want me to say to any group. I will give you the truth right from the liars. And we speak on social, economical, political, spiritual. I have the truth, and I will travel.
Awesome. That's great. And I highly recommend him. And if you, do you have any last words as we wrap up here? Are there any last words as far as for our listeners to succeed in Christ?
I appreciate this. Understand, folks, that you've been redeemed already. The victory is yours already. It's going to look like we're losing because there's a highway to hell, only a stairway to heaven. So it's going to look like we're losing. But understand, the redemption draws near, and your Savior brings you out of despair before he judges despair. So keep acting like you believe in God, and God will keep acting like he believes in you. Stay right or be left, because eternity is a long time to be wrong.
Amen. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time and appreciate you joining us. This is a great show, and appreciate it.
Let's do it again, man. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thank you, Mason.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to connect with us at www.winnerswalk.com for more information on our next podcast and to download your free checklist, the 10 success principles of today's Christian leaders that you can copy. God bless, and walk like the winner God made you.